This is a season of celebration.
Yes, it is.
We've had some ups and we've had some downs. But we've come to a time of a season for celebration.
Yes.
Our children are graduating.
Yes.
They're moving on to the next phase in their lives.
Yes.
And that's for a celebration.
Yes.
That's and to give God some praise.
Amen.
Again, I want to thank all of those and congratulate all of those who have graduated and moved on to the next stage of your lives.
Yes.
And this sermon today is devoted primarily not just to the graduates, but also to us, those who have helped shape and mold young minds. I was coming from my daughter's graduation the other day, and she said something to me that made me start to think. She said, "It was just like yesterday. And it went so fast." And my words to her, maybe for you, it didn't go so fast for me. I give all praises to God and my Savior Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of my life. I give praises to my colleagues in the ministry, Dr. Price, Reverend Haddock, Reverend Price, Reverend Brown. I'm glad you're back. Your presence has been missed. Reverend Gwen and Reverend Leaphart, all of my brothers and sisters in Christ, it is an honor and a pleasure just to be here. Let us go to God in prayer real quick. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our reigning and ruling Savior. We give you thanks, O Lord, for all that you have done. And for the next few moments, O God, I ask that if there's anything in me contrary to your will, that you remove it, O God. Take me back down to the potter's wheel and place me on it. Shape and mold me into the person you would have me be, that I might give to this, your people, your word. Let your Holy Spirit fall freshly on our ears. This is your servant's prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ. And all his children said, amen.
Amen.
I want to call our attention to Joshua. The fourth chapter of Joshua. If you spend any time in your Bible, you'll know this is a pretty familiar passage. Joshua 4 will start at the first verse down to the ninth. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Joshua, the fourth chapter, starting at the first verse, reads, "And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take yourself 12 men from the people, one of every tribe, and command them, saying, Take yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in a place of lodging where you lodge tonight. Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you take of one stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, saying, what does these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan. And the Lord spoke to Joshua according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel. And they carried them over, and they placed them where they lodged, and they laid them down. Then Joshua took 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the ark of the covenant stood. And they were there to this day. I want to talk to you this morning. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to talk to you this morning a little, teach a little, and preach a small bit on a topic. Don't forget where you came from.
Amen.
Don't forget where you came from. As we're in this celebration, celebrating our students and their achievements, it is imperative that we relay on to them some things that they should remember. During the commencement, the Valley Victorian made a statement. And Dr. Price, it was interesting about the statement he made because it hung with me all day. He made a statement, he said, we all will not be here again together. But I want us all to remember the one thing I can remember most out of all the years that we spent together. The one thing I'm going to miss most of all is nachos. Out of all the children and all the things that they've shared over the years, the only thing that he said he was going to miss was the nachos. He said it was something about that cheese. And my mind kept saying, he couldn't remember the fact that maybe a counselor or a teacher gave him some words of wisdom. He couldn't remember the fact that maybe that was someone who gave them some information that pushed him over. All he could remember was the nachos and the cheese.
Okay.
And it came to my mind that it is imperative that if they're going to remember some things, it's going to be left up to us to instill it in them. It is up to us to instill in them some things that make them look back and say, I remember when. Don't forget where you came from. Let's go to the text. This is a very familiar text. But I need you to go back a little way so that I can bring you up on your understanding. We all remember that the children of Israel, they were in captivity for the 400 years. We all remember that God selected a brother by the name of Moses to go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. We all remember that after Pharaoh had so plagues that made him let the children of Israel go, they get to the Red Sea. And when they get there, we remember that God parted the waters, allowed them to walk across on dry land. We remember that the children of Israel raised so much sand that they had to go 40 years in the wilderness to get to the promised land. You can recall when he gets to the promised land, Moses turns over the mantle to a young man by the name of Joshua. And Joshua is the one who will lead them into the promised land.
Yes.
But before they go into the promised land, there are some things that God wants Joshua to tell the children of Israel.
Yes.
And he starts by telling them, I need you to have one man from every tribe. Go into the river and pick up a stone and place it on your shoulders. And can you see him holding a stone and bringing it back? I need you to place it down where you're going to lodge for the night. They've got these stones, these big stones, and they're bringing them, and they're putting them down. And Joshua said, this is going to be a memorial right here. This is going to be a memorial so you won't forget. And your children won't forget. This will be a memorial that lets them know that in your time of need, God parted the Red Sea. In your time of need, when you were in captivity, God brought you out. He wanted them to take the 12 stones and build a memorial.
All right. Yeah, all right.
But now look at that ninth verse. In the ninth verse, it says that Joshua went and gathered 12 stones of his own. Joshua said that memorial was because God commanded you to do it. That's what that one is for. That's for the children of Israel.
All right.
But these 12 stones are just because so good. And you don't have to pump me. You don't have to prime me. I love God so much that I'm going to get my own stones. And I'm going to place them down. And I'm going to praise God right here in the midst of everything. Don't you know that sometimes God doesn't need to tell you what to do? You should be grateful enough to just do it. See, God didn't have to tell them about the stones, but he knew that the children of Israel were so hard-headed that they might forget. They might forget where they came from. They might forget all of the things that God brought them through. So God said, I need you to just go ahead right now, get 12 stones, make a memorial, because one day your children or your children's children are going to ask, what do those rocks stand for? Have you been building a memorial? Can your children and your children's children look to you and say, why do you praise so much, Grandma? Why you throw your hands in the air, Grandpa? Why do you praise? Because I remember what he brought me through. I remember when I was down and I couldn't do it for myself. Those praises I give up, that's a memorial to God. The praises I throw my hands in the air lets him know that he brought me from a mighty long way. And it's up to us to be able to guide and teach our children that you don't need to forget where you came from. See, Joshua was trying to let them know that you got to remind your children and your children's children where God brought you from. Because if you forget where he brought you from, you might actually forget all of what he brought you through. You might forget about the Passover. You might forget that when Pharaoh wouldn't let you go, God sent a deaf angel. And the deaf angel passed over. And if you didn't have the blood on the seal, somebody was going to die. Yeah. I need you to remember that God let the deaf angel pass over your house. I don't need you to forget what happened. I need you to remember, don't you let this go by, and you have to forget where God brought you from. Joshua was teaching the children of Israel a point that all of us may need to know. Three things will happen if you start to forget where you came from. Can I give them to you real quick? I'm gonna give you these three things and I'm gonna take my seat. Three things happen if you forget where you came from. The first thing that happens when you start to forget where you came from is you forget the cost. You forget the cost of what it took, because there is a cost and somebody paid the price. This one is for, make sure you tell the young people this one. It stood now as it stood when I was a child. All right. There is nothing free on this earth. Don't you listen to what Facebook says. Don't you listen to what TikTok shows. Don't you listen to what the internet puts out. There's nothing free in this world. Salvation wasn't free. Jesus paid that price. Nothing is free. There is no free rides. There's no free lunches. There is no freebies here and there. Somewhere, somebody's paid or is paying the cost. And it's up to us to remind them, there's a cost that comes. See, the thing is, we have allowed our generation to get to a point where they feel privileged. They feel privileged. We were just satisfied with just some Chuck Taylors. We were satisfied that sometime mama could get them, sometimes she couldn't. We were satisfied with that. But today, they not satisfied with Chuck Taylors. You better not bring them some Converse. They'll look at you like you crazy. You better have some Nikes, and you better have some, Tim Hardaway. You better have some shoes with some names. But they got to understand, that was a time that we didn't have it so luxurious. That was a time when things wasn't always so comfortable. You got to let them know, we didn't come over here on a luxury liner. We came over here on the Amistad, and we came over here on the Hannibal, and we came over here on the Catilda. Those were slave ships that brought African Americans to America. You got to let them know it came with a cost. That's a cost. See, a lot of us right now, a lot of us are forgetting that it came with a cost. Yeah. That there is no free Nikes. There is no free Pradas and the Gucci and the Louis Vuitton, and all those things come with a price, and it's up to us to be able to let them know that the clothes you have on your back, the food that I put on the table, the things that I do for you, that comes with a cost. And the danger we face
if we don't let them know, is they will never truly know how to thank God. Joshua was trying to let the children of Israel know that it comes with a cost. I need you to know that when you get to the land flowing with milk and honey, it came with a cost. I need you to know that when you get to houses you didn't build and you get to fields you didn't plant, it came with a cost. I need you to know that when the death angel passed over your home, it came with a cost. Don't forget where you came from, because it comes with a cost. Then I need you to know that if you start to forget, watch this. If you start to forget where you came from, then you'll start to forget that it was all in God's plan. I felt that in my spirit because it came with God's plan. Everything, see, it's hard right now to understand. Sister Celia, it's hard to understand about God's plan because the new generation doesn't know our thoughts are not God's thoughts and our ways are not God's ways. God's thoughts and ways are as far as the heavens are from the earth. That's the Bible. That's what we understand. We got to understand that we think on a small scale, doctor. We think on a small scale. See, we think that just because we've made it, because we've got the degree, and just because we're making the big money, and just because we've got the position and something happened in our lives, and just because we have all of that, we did it on our own. But God's saying, no, you didn't do it on your own. I'm the one that woke you up that morning. I'm the one that kept you when you walked into the office. I'm the one that held you when you couldn't get up and go. I'm the one that kept you so that you could get it. And God doesn't think on our level. God thinks our generations. See, God's plan is so that he gives us a glimpse sometimes, like Joseph. Joseph knew that God had a plan in a vision. And Joseph knew that to get there, he had to go in the pit. Yes. What Joseph didn't know was to get to the palace, I got to go to prison. Yeah. What Joseph didn't know was that every time God has a plan, sometimes the plan takes more out of us, but God holds us to get through to the other side. See, that's the main reason why a lot of us have a problem with God's plan. Because God's plan, watch this, God's plan is not always smooth. See, we like our plan. Our plan doesn't have the bumps, and our plan doesn't say that we're going to be unemployed, and our plan doesn't say that we're going to get a bad news from a report from the doctor, that's our plan. But God's plan is messy sometimes. God's plan is messy. God's plan will hurt you. God's plan will put you in the fire. Repent. God's plan will put you right there in the center of the lion's den. That's God's plan. But if you can just hold out, hold out just a little while longer to the finish, you'll understand that God's plan was better than anything you could have done. We have a tendency to forget the cost. We'll have a tendency to forget that it's not us, but it's God's plan. And watch this last one. If you forget
where you came from,
there's a chance you may never appreciate the blessing. When you forget where you came from, you won't appreciate the blessing. See, I know there's some saints in here who wake up appreciating just that they woke up. I know that I got somebody in here aside from I just need two or three who know that I appreciate just the fact that I was able to take my next breath. I was able to get up and clothe myself, and I was able to get inside of my car, and I was able to do the things and come to church. I didn't have to go away on Sunday. I was already giving him praise before I got in the car. I know I got a girl, Sister Stephanie, that's right. I know, that's right. That's right, I see you out there. I know you know what I'm talking about. Praise him before you get here because you appreciate it. But then, okay, here we go. Watch it. Then there are those. They can't appreciate it because there's something missing. There's something missing, Deacon. It's like a hole. And they can't appreciate the blessing. Have you seen that? People who always always got a bad attitude, always upset about something. They can't get them. They always complaining. See, that was the problem why the children of Israel had a problem. Because one, they could never appreciate the blessing. The blessing wasn't the promised land. They got out of Egypt. And they started complaining. They got down to the Red Sea. And they started complaining. You read in it. They start complaining from the time that they left by chapter 14. They're complaining now that they don't have enough food. So God sends a manna from heaven. All right. And that's not enough. So they start complaining. We had meat back in Egypt. All right. By the time you get to chapter 16, you think that all the meat, the manna, they'd be satisfied. No. Chapter 16, they start complaining about water. So Moses has to get water from a rock. You can't be satisfied. You can't be satisfied, and that's why you can't appreciate the blessing. Because the blessing is tied to your gratification. You have to have an attitude of gratitude. They never appreciated the blessing. That's why when I say you have people who always frown, because they got things. But they don't have joy. They got stuff, but they got no peace. They got trinkets, but they got no faithfulness. You just don't have it. And until you start to be grateful for everything that God gave, until you start to be grateful for the little things, until you start to be grateful to a God that took you out of Egypt, took you across the Red Sea, took you through the wilderness, took you to the promised land, until you start to be grateful, you'll never appreciate the blessing. When you're going to be grateful? When you're going to appreciate all God's giving you? When you're going to stand on his promise that God said he'll never leave you nor forsake you? Even when you go down in the pit, I'm right there with you. You go down to the prison. I'm right there with you. God, if I had just one or two who knew, I'm grateful for the blessing.
And what I can't understand, Dad, I can't understand those who take scripture and they try to use scripture to try to justify them not giving glory. They'll take something like Psalms 37, and they'll say, well, delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. No, let me tell you, Bible. Psalms 37, that's verse 4. You got to go back to verse 1. Fret not thyself over evildoers, nor workers of iniquity, for soon they're going to be cut down like the grass. They're going to wither like the herb. Verse 3 says, and puts it all in perspective. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. You can't get to verse 4 without going through verse 3. You got to trust in the Lord and you got to do good to others. Then you can delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I'm finna stop. But I remember my first year in college. And I was happy that I was away from home, and summer came, went back to mama's, and I was there at my mom's, and a friend of mine called. He said, you know, we can make some money. If we go downtown, they got a new hotel opening up downtown, and they hiring bellhops. And, some of y'all might not know what a bellhop is. That's the young man who runs up, and he grabs your bag, and he says, so I said, bellhops, I can do that. Run around, grab bags, and get big tips. We talking about big tips. We saying those rich white folks down there, they get big tips. They like to, some of us, but anyway, they get big tips. So we got a plan, and then I said, well, I got to run it by my mama, and I know that she wants me to work anyway. It's summer. She don't want me to be at home just sitting around doing nothing, because I grew up under the old rule. Mama leave, daddy leave. You can't stay here at the house. You got to do something. So I ran it by my mama, and I said, Mama, I got a call from Michael, and Michael was telling me they are hiring downtown at the new hotel for bellhops, and they said they are hiring right now, so I got to get downtown to see if I can get me an application so I can become one of the bellhops. And my mom say, I'll be... I got some of that from my mama. I got that from my mama. My mama, she's a godly woman. You won't be working as a bellhop in this house. I said, Mama, they paying good tips. And no, you're not working as a bellhop. And she left it at that and walked out. I was upset. I was mad. And I'm ready to raise some sand. But you don't raise sand with Josephine. No. I kept that to myself. And I was mad. I went back in my room, and I closed the door, and I'm mad. Yeah. I wanted to make some extra money. Yeah. Mama just told me I can't work now. All of a sudden now I'm not gonna make those little tips, and I'm not gonna have it. It's uncomfortable right now. I'm a little upset. And the door opens. Mm-hmm. And my mom walked in. She said, I guess you're mad at me. Yeah. No, Mama, I ain't mad at you. I just wanted to work downtown because you always told us. She says, son, let me tell you something. You come from a line
of people who were in slavery. You come from sharecroppers. You come from a line of those, and I've worked domestic in people's kitchen to send you to college. And so I'm not going to have my boy that's going to college lugging some white man's bag around. No, sir. You're going to need to find something else. And if you think I'm talking about my mama and the job, you're wrong, because I'm talking about life and how God does his children. It's real simple. God say you got to remember where you came from. You got to remember the sin you was in. And I'm not going to let you go back. I'm not going to let you stop going forward. How dare you drop the ball? How dare you let go of everything I've taught you? I've brought you from a mighty long way. I know it's been uncomfortable. I know you had to go through some things. But I'm not going to let you stop. You're going to remember that one day, when your children ask, you can tell them your grandfather was a sharecropper. Your great-great-grandfather worked on a plantation. Your grandmother, she was a domestic. And you, sir, you're just a preacher inside of a small little church called Pilgrim Branch. But I don't want you to forget what I've taught you. Don't ever forget where you came from. That's my message, Pilgrim Branch. I'm through. May God bless you. May the Lord keep you mighty good. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."